The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Are you ready?
Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. To the masters.
Break it down. Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at Jongi Football, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And first hour, if you missed it, all available on podcastarena.com. Very cool site, very mobile friendly. Go check it out. Little football talk. And I really appreciate some really good dialogue from people on the debates. There are certain times when the listeners give me faith in humanity again, where we all have disagreements on things, but do it respectively. I'm going to read this one text, and then we'll turn the page on this, because I think this is really well thought out. It says, hey, kudos to that kid that called and you guys for having this conversation. And yeah, that kid, that was a terrific call. It says, B, partisan politics is what's wrong with the way we vote. We treat politics the way we treat sports. Love team A, hate team B,
yep.
Period, the end. Well, that's fine in sports, but the way we vote determines so much about our day-to-day lives, our families, livelihoods, etc. Refusing to hear the other side is plain stupid, but all you hear is how much Republicans hate Democrats and vice versa. There is zero intelligent dialogue amongst ourselves, and that's a problem, from BK. Very well done. So, all right, a lot of people have been asking us to speak on Milo Hamilton, and who passed away today.
Which, by the way, you know,
88 years old is a good run.
I went to go get some water during the break, and the interns are getting a bunch of calls about talk about sports.
Yeah,
we don't have to talk about sports. This is our show.
Yeah,
yeah, we're not a all sports all the time show.
We never have been. And,
no,
and we've always,
this is nothing new.
We've always said, hey, it's ESPN is the entertainment and sports network. And I'm sorry, that was entertaining.
Dude,
TV.
If I had to talk about nothing but sports for 15 hours a week with you, Fred, I would kill myself. I could not come to work every day and say, oh, I'm going to talk about sports to Fred for 3 hours. I mean, who would want to do that?
Let me ask you a question.
Like, when you talk to your friends, do you talk about stuff besides sports? Like
a little bit.
Yeah. Like, I mean, God forbid we have any outside interests. Like, what the hell's going to go on with this country?
Honestly.
What foolish dummies we are think about things like that when, you know, there was an Astros game last night.
Yeah, they were down 9-0 or 6-0 in the first inning. I'm sure you all stayed around to watch that. I damn sure didn't.
Good Lord. You guys are so weird.
I know. Hey, look, we have a lot of new listeners, obviously, and some of them haven't quite figured out the show yet, but they will.
We'll piss off guys.
No, stick around. We're going to get to something you want.
No.
Like at 5:30.
Piss off.
No. 5:30, we're going to talk to Christopher Harris. You'll get all kinds of fantasy info. So you got that. We'll do some gambling talk. We'll do some talk about tonight's game. All that will happen. We have 2 hours left to do that. We've got plenty of time. We'll have a gym of the day. It'll be cool. So the texture says, what are the people who always call and complain going to get something better to do? Change the damn channel or something. That's the one thing that I don't get. How do you take time out of your day to say, oh, don't talk about that?
Yeah, if you don't like our show, it's much easier, instead of calling in and asking us to change the show, to just change the channel.
Yeah, and you know what? Come back, because at some point we'll be talking about something you like.
Don't come back.
No, come back. Stop that. You know, those ratings things do matter to us on some stuff, so don't chase them all away. Come on.
Not if I have to deal with the headache.
You don't have to. That's what we have interns for. They're the ones who take the phone
calls.
Yeah,
but look, they come and talk to me.
Well, you just tell them. So what? That's great. We get it. Because I deal with all the texts. They deal with the phone calls. You really don't have to worry about it. You just get the guys on Twitter, and then you get into it with them. So, anyway, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. And no, we're going to mention Milo Hamilton because he passed away today at 88. I would just say there's probably better people in the city to honor Milo Hamilton than me.
You don't like Milo Hamilton. We did not like Milo.
We had some, for what he did, I thought he was very good. It was kind of sad to me at the end where he couldn't see anymore. But I thought he was great play-by-play guy, and I know a lot of people loved him. I had some issues with him when I was at the Chronicle that were, you know.
Were they personal issues?
I don't want to get into it on the day,
the day
the guy
of his passing.
I would just say that he wasn't always really, he did not treat me or some of my coworkers very well.
Okay.
And so yes, there was some dislike there. And you know, it takes a lot for me to really dislike somebody, but to be honest, man, the last few years, I haven't cared. I'm sorry for his family, and, but 88's a good run. And yes, for what he did, the guy was fantastic, but I don't want to be a hypocrite and sit here and talk about what a great guy he was, because I would be lying through my teeth. And I don't think this is the appropriate time to get into that.
Yeah, with Milo, the interactions I had with him were typically when I was in Austin, I used to go to spring training with the Astros every year. And that was the time when I would have the most interaction with him, because inevitably, like, the Astros would want you to interview Milo one of the days you were out there. We're out there for a week, you know, we interview Milo for a segment. And, you know, I'm with you. Like, by the time I started talking to Milo, I think he was past his prime as a play-by-play guy. But he was still engaging, and I would mostly talk to him about restaurants and things like that. That dude loved to recommend restaurants to people. So he would always talk about where he was eating that night and where he planned to eat the rest of the time during spring training, where we should go and eat. You know, I think that's a guy who, when you're around the game for that long, you're gonna make some contributions, and he definitely made a lot of contributions to the game. I think that Hank Aaron call is a historic call, I mean, hate to see anybody die, but it's not like Milo had a shortened run.
No,
guy who lived a pretty full life,
and he was here, and he was it was beloved by a lot of people, and he was really great at his job, and I just don't really have anything else to say about it, so. Sorry to his family. All right, let's grab a quick phone call. Robert, you're on the Blitz. Go.
Hey guys, how y'all doing?
Sports. And
just
stuff.
Had a question
sometimes
about the Patriots -1 against the Bills this weekend. Do you think it's a good play or what?
I would probably lean the other way if I were to make a bet, a wager on that game. I think I'm, now that the number's up to one, I think I'm probably taking that point with Buffalo.
Yeah, I think I'd go that way too. But any thoughts on Louisville Clemson tonight?
Man, I really think that's a scary number to me, because if it seems off, like it seems like Clemson should be a much bigger favorite.
You know, it's Thursday night home dogs, and I think Louisville is better than I certainly think they're better than their record. But I do like this Clemson team.
Clemson has one of the best quarterbacks in the country. And I have no idea who's going to start for Louisville at quarterback. And
yeah, if the same kid that started against UH, they don't have a chance to cover.
They have been a mess. They fumble the ball around. They throw interceptions. They're just sloppy at that position. And, you know, Deshaun Watson, that is a player.
Yeah.
So it's tough for me. I want to say it's an easy play on Clemson, but I'd probably feel better about that number if it was 9. That, you know, when it's 6, it just makes me feel like something's wrong, like I'm being suckered somehow. So I it's a no play for me. If I was forced to push a button, it'd be on Clemson.
All right, we're going to take a very quick break. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Listening to the Blitz
on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Two great sports stations, two presets. Lock them in.
Lock them in. 713-780-ESPN. I love this text. So since y'all always complain about people calling and complaining about your show, seems like y'all are the variable that needs to change. My wife, who briefly hears y'all on the radio when I get home and we have to run an errand after work, also thinks y'all complain too much. So you're complaining about us complaining about people complaining.
Yeah.
Okay. And by the way, the variable is not going to change here.
That's the thing. We're not the variable.
No. No. Yeah. Sorry. Some people like us. Some people don't. Doesn't bother me at all.
No.
Gabriel said, what do you think of the announced 2016 Pro Football Hall of Fame class nominees? We were talking about that because Dulati, I think both of us believe T.O. is a lock. I think Jong thinks that as well.
He should be a lock.
But I wonder if he will be.
I don't know if he'll be a first year.
Obviously, Favre is.
Favre is almost undeniably, which is funny because Favre is a guy who had drug addiction and, you know, personal issues late in his life. But
texting small penis pictures to people, Jen Sturger.
But people will say that T.O. was the one who was an off-the-field problem. T.O., to me, should be the number one guy in this class, because if you rank these guys by their all time, like where they rank all time by position, T.O., you can't get past number three. I
agree.
Like, even Brett Favre, there's people who wouldn't put Brett Favre on a top 10 list. And, you know, there's so many quarterbacks that are great Hall of Fame types that, you know, it's not impossible to leave him off a list like that. You cannot create a top 10 wide receiver list and not have Terrell Owens on it. You can't. It's impossible. And if you do it, you have personal issues against him. But those are the two that should be locks. I tend to think Darren Sharper is should be there as well.
Yeah, although that's a different issue too.
Yeah, you know? I don't know. I'm almost sure that he won't be because he's now a convicted serial rapist. But he's, if you went on performance alone,
yeah,
he's one of the best at what he did. I'm almost sure Darren Sharper won't get in, but I do think it's notable that he is probably more deserving based on the field stuff than a lot of the other guys that are up.
TJ on Twitter said $10 that texter's wife made him text in that complaint.
I don't care. I don't care about her.
Surprised me. Tim said said before, it took me 6 months, but I love the show 5 days a week now. Tell everyone to man up and hang in there. It'll come around. It does. Just give it time. And if it doesn't, that's okay. And if you're new, I've always told people we're like alcohol.
Yeah.
First time you have it, some people love it right away. Some people are like, oh, I heard this was great. This isn't very good. And now, you know, you're drinking a 12-pack every night.
Yep.
So just give it time. And some people don't like to drink. So it may not be for you. We're not for everybody. We don't try to be. Try to be for the blitzers, the people. In fact, I'm going to give something to people because I love the people so much. How about you win two tickets to the first annual Arts and Draft Houston, presented by Ziegenbach Amber Beer, Goose Island IPA, and Grandma's Boys Lemonade, benefiting La Rosa Family Services Saturday, September 19th at the Silo Houston. It's a celebration of beer, art, and entertainment. Tickets are just $30 in advance, so get yours now at artsanddraftshou.com and enjoy the works of local artists, craft beers, and spiked lemonade. Caller 20. Let's grab Jason real quick. Let's talk about the Pac-12. What's up, Jason?
Hey, sports and stuff, guys.
Sports and stuff
just wanted to say that 22-year-old man, he's an inspiration. Liked what he said, but I wanted to talk a little bit of the Pac-12. AJ, you've never steered me wrong so far, so wanted to get your opinion on the Stanford-USC game. Is there anything to really watch there, or is that kind of a no play because it's too early in the season to know? I'll hang up and listen.
When this line came out, it opened at 8, and it was the first button I pushed this week is USC -8. I think USC is considerably better than the Stanford team, and I understand USC's been in, you know, a big favorite against Stanford before and lost.
This is a different Stanford team.
I think this USC team is ridiculously talented on offense. They're
good enough on defense. I think they've got some issues there, but they're good enough.
But from a talent standpoint, they're better than Stanford across the board. And I don't know that Stanford is that much better coached than them. And Kevin Hogan, who was a huge prospect, and everybody thought that this guy, by the time he was a senior, was going to be so great. I don't know if he's not getting any better. He's kind of just a guy. And, you know, I thought Kevin Hogan would be a lot better than he is by now. He's just not that good.
I've never liked him. I mean, he's just a big guy who he's not really a football player. And the other thing about Stanford is I've kind of seen this. They lost so many fifth-year seniors over the last 2 years, guys that were Harbaugh guys that he brought in. I think Shaw's a good coach, but now you're getting into his players. I don't think they're as good. I don't think he's recruiting as well as Harbaugh did. Maybe he is by the numbers, but he's not. They're certainly not getting the same type of players they were getting, or they're not developing them, one of the two. I like USC there. Lamont says he's been with the Blitz almost 4 years. Don't agree with all topics, but it's nearly always entertaining. That's all we try to be. We just try to make sure you guys enjoy yourself, and we give you stuff.
By the way, my favorite Pac-12 plays this week. I like Colorado, neutral side against Colorado State. It's up to -4.5 now. It was at 3. I'd still play it at 4.5. And I like the over in the Texas-Cal game. I think you're going to see a lot of scoring there. I think that even though Texas isn't good offensively, they do seem to have some sort of a newfound offensive energy with the new quarterback. And Cal is terrible on defense. And Cal has one of the best quarterbacks in the country, and they're going to score at will against Texas. So I think it's going to be a shootout.
I agree with you on that. Joshua asked, do you guys have any tips or strategies for doing college football FanDuel leagues, or just stay away completely? I haven't done any, but I do think
I hate college fantasy sports.
I don't hate it. I just think
I don't have fun with it.
I get so locked into the NFL. Maybe I'll play one this week and see how it goes, and then I'll be happy to give you some strategies, especially if it doesn't
works out.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. Yeah, Landis has been with the Blitz since it was a Sunday show about poker, and I love it. Well, it was actually a Monday night show about poker, and was the front page on weekends. Jong's been here since then, too.
Yeah.
Now everybody's, it's like alcoholism, right? Hi, I'm Lamont, and I'm a Blitzer. Hi, Lamont. I've been a Blitzer for 4 years. We'll have our college picks tomorrow. You won't be here, but you're going to send us your picks.
Yeah,
so
I'll get mine in.
And your three, what we'll do is, for those of you who want our picks, we'll do 4:30 tomorrow. We do colleges generally, unless we have a guest. And 5 o'clock, we go through all the NFL games, and then we'll give the ones we're actually going to play. But it's more of a preview of all the games. And Jason Braddock will be here tomorrow, so that should be fun. And then, if we have anything tonight, on Thursdays usually we'll tell you. I don't right now, but I'm still waiting on this program to finish running. I'm way behind on my handicapping because we've been working. And for everybody who keeps asking about the gambling book, we're very close. We're very close. You got some work done today on it. I'm going to get some more done tomorrow.
But I promise it's not slow because we're being lazy. It's slow because I'm trying to get it right. You know, and I think Fred is the same way. We're just trying to
We're not trying to
make
rush
it a good product.
Yeah, we don't want to rush the thing. We want to give you guys good information. And there you go. Somebody said, I love the show, but I'm going to have to stop listening. Y'all are starting to give me the itch for betting. If you don't bet, don't start.
Yeah.
If you do,
you're probably not going to win.
No, and that I always tell people that. Don't get started if you don't do it. All right. Quick break. We come back, we'll talk a little fantasy football with Christopher Harris. If you've got good fantasy questions, please text them in, and we'll throw them at Christopher next. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 975.
From the Gau Studios in Houston, Texas, This is the Blitz Fantasy Football segment, brought to you by FanDuel. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. And that music, and that intro, you know who it is. Christopher Harris, now runs harrisfootball.com, fantasy football expert. You can follow him on Twitter, at harrisfootball. And Chris, I have to tell you, I got a bunch of texts today. A lot of our listeners have been checking out your podcast, and they all love it. So, well done, sir.
That's awesome. Thank you very much to all everybody who's checking it out. It's fun to do it every single day. I don't know how you guys do it, but I'm in the biz now.
Well, and just real quickly, because I know this is still new to people who don't tune in every week, might not know that you're not with ESPN anymore. Tell them again what you're doing and how they can get it, and then we'll get into some of the fantasy questions.
Yeah, it's harrisfootball.com. You'll see on the landing page there, there's a link to every episode each day. When I was with ESPN for 8 years, but by the end there I had a podcast every twice a week, and it was always a little frustrating because I felt like I watched so much tape and had a lot more analysis to give, and there just wasn't room to give it. So now we got a show, and Monday and Tuesday I break down tape of every game, and Wednesday we'll talk about Tuesday talk about waivers, Wednesday ranks, and then Thursday and Friday about putting together a lineup. So it's been good. It's pretty fun. It's somehow it's like a top five sports podcast on all of iTunes. It's been 6 weeks. I have no idea how that happened.
Christopher, let's start with the Cowboys because of the Dez Bryant injury. Does this increase the value of some of the other players there? Do you move some guys up? How does that affect some of the fantasy, the other players on the Cowboys with Bryant being out?
Well, for sure, someone is going to benefit among the receivers. The assumption is that it'll be Terrence Williams, although, he's not the same kind of player. He's not as physical. He's not as dominant in the red zone. He's a tall kid who can run fast and, doesn't really run a lot of in-cutting routes or hasn't yet. So I'm not ready to say, oh, boy, this makes Terrence Williams, a must-start in every single league. I think you certainly can start him, and we might get to that point, but I think it's going to take an adjustment on the Cowboys' part because they can't run exactly what they run for Dez, for T. Will. Cole Beasley, especially in a point-per-reception league, there's a little more appeal there. Jason Witten already is a fantasy starter in most leagues, but he probably gets a little bit of a bump. And you know what? I would love to tell you that Devin Street or this Bryce Brown kid that they traded for, I'd love to tell you one of those guys is ready to make a leap. It's possible they're going to get opportunities, but it's tough to say you need to run out and add these guys and drop really established players because, while one of them might work out, we just don't really know who yet.
With the games tonight, I've heard a lot of people kind of worried about the Denver Broncos offense, especially the players that they had to make high investments in, namely Peyton Manning, CJ Anderson, Demaryius Thomas. People asking if they're still going to finish top 10 guys at their positions, and obviously Anderson's a little banged up. Manning had a really bad game. I mean, should you be nervous at this point, or is it still early?
Maybe a little bit of both. I mean, I would say watching that tape, people are just saying so much stuff that this is about Manning, and I really think this is more about the offensive line not being coherent enough. I'm remembering the Patriots for the first 4 weeks last year when they didn't have their line figured out and everybody thought Brady was done. Manning really had no chance to go down the field. It was basically we're putting a whole bunch of guys in the box, and we're going to, essentially run blitz and get after Manning and make him, beat us, make us pay for that, which is, you have to admit, a very different strategy from what defenses have done to Manning in the past. You couldn't get away with that in the past, but that was because he had a little more time. This isn't a good spot tonight for this defense either, because if the Ravens have a really good front seven, the Chiefs have a great front seven, and they're going to do exactly the same thing and see if Manning can hurt them with the big play. He wasn't able to last week, and I think there's I didn't rate Manning as a fantasy starter this week, even though I'm saying hold on to him. But I think there's danger. I think you probably use Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders just because they can make one play and make your week. And CJ Anderson, let's see what they do with Anderson tonight because it's turf toe, and they're not going to tell us what the true extent of the injury is. We're going to have to see it by what they do. Is Anderson a pure starter? Is Ronnie Hillman a platoon back? Is Hillman maybe getting starts, getting carries ahead of Anderson? A lot will be told tonight.
Christopher Harris, our guest, runs harrisfootball.com. And Christopher, anybody of note worth looking at in the Texans game? I know we always have to ask this, but with the change at quarterback, is there any fantasy value in anybody other than Hopkins?
Yeah, I mean, Hopkins is the great, you know, we talked about Hopkins last week, and my statement with him was, you know, I'm totally convinced of the ability, and now let's see if the Brian Hoyers can get it to him. And they got it to him enough, so at least I feel good about that. But no, I mean, Alfred Blue has sort of been revealed for what he is. He's kind of just another guy. The Texans know this, and so they're going to rotate through everybody else and see if they can have somebody catch fire with a hot hand, so I'd rather not use any of those guys. No, honestly, there's no one else on the Texas side of things that you're interested in. You know, I think on the other sideline, there's some players. I don't mind the idea of Cam Newton this week, but sure would like to see a little more out of the defense, because watching that tape, it didn't really feel like it bore a huge resemblance to the unit that, you know, on a kind of a so-so team last year, just made so many plays. Felt like the Chiefs kind of just ground them down.
As far as the Tennessee Titans, you believing what you saw? Bishop Sankey, Marcus Mariota, are these guys the real deal, or are you still not sold?
Not sold so much. Boy, Tampa Bay put up no resistance. I mean, some of the holes that Bishop Sankey was running through, I made the joke on the podcast that, like, I'm pretty sure I could have gotten 45 yards. You know, it just feels like it was canyons to run through, and I don't think the Browns are great either, and they struggled against Chris Ivory, so I'm not saying that the Titan players can't have good weeks this week too, but it's not, I don't think this is a pure reflection of ability, and so somewhere along the line it's kind of going to catch up to people. I'm not ready to say anybody else is taking that job from Bishop Sankey. In fact, they tried to give Terrence West 3 carries from the 1 yard line, and he got stuffed all 3 times. And so then Sankey came in the 4th time and scored from the 1. So hopefully that gets him some touchdowns. I'm okay with using him. I think Mariota is a hold. You know, rookie quarterback is just such a hard thing to do. Yeah. I mean, we can't even count the number of rookie quarterbacks who've come in. And, you know, I guess Andrew Luck and RG3, their rookie years is most recently. I can't imagine Mariota's in for that kind of campaign on that team. But, you know, it's a very favorable schedule to begin the year.
Christopher Harris, our guest, and the segment is sponsored by FanDuel, so we're going to ask you some FanDuel questions, as we do every week. From the listeners, one of them wants to know, what position do you invest the most in, and do you have a specific strategy where you say, I'm going to spend a bunch on a quarterback or a stud wide receiver, or do you just try to balance it out?
I'd say with FanDuel, because there is no flex, and because we're talking a half-point PPR as opposed to DraftKings, where there is a flex and it's a full point per reception, I'm more focused on really trying to nail down the backfield. I want to get 2 running backs. There's not a lot of margin for error, if you know what I mean. Like, you have 8 players, or, you know, I guess 9 with a kicker. And so I really want to make sure I nail down the running backs first. It's not to say necessarily that I always go for the more expensive running backs first, but I want to find the guys I want to use who I feel like give me the highest floor, and I kind of go from there. Certainly the half-point perception influences me towards higher-volume players, but not to the exclusion of a lot of yards, because you're only getting a half point per catch. So I'd say at FanDuel, for me, it's usually running back first. Then we'll fill in with the wide receivers. I rarely wind up with an elite quarterback, because they tend to kind of be the same. You know, it's sort of the same idea as commissioner style. And you can sometimes find Alex Smith doing something against the Texans last week, and, you know, he was really relatively cheap. And then I sort of build out from there. I'm not going to pay for a lot for a tight end, so Gronk probably won't be on my team, because I can get Tyler Eifert or Travis Kelce turning in a big effort like last week.
I want to ask you, because we did this last week. We went through, we gave you 5 cheap quarterbacks and gave the people Tyrod Taylor, which worked out pretty well. So I want to do that with running backs. I'm just going to throw some cheap names out there, and you tell me if any of these guys are worth including on your team this week. Isaiah Crowell is at 5,800.
I would say that we're going to come across better names than him.
Okay. And I'm trying to keep all these under 6,000, by the way.
Right.
So that's why. Chris Johnson at 5,700 now, since he's probably going to have to play more.
He is, and, you know, it's not like I fear the Bears' defense at all, but I would say, again, I think we're going to find better cheap options as you keep going.
Okay, Alfred Blue, who you've already talked a little bit about at 5,700.
Not crazy about it. Let's keep going.
Okay, a guy I kind of like, Darren Sproles, for 5,600, simply because he catches passes and they find ways to use him.
Yeah, I'd say of the four we've mentioned so far, I'm interested in him because of the half point per reception. But, you know, the worry with Sproles, he did this last year, too. He had two games to start the year, high usage, and, you know, never touched it more than seven or eight times the entire year the rest of the way. But, yeah, I sort of like the way you're thinking in that Cowboy game.
And then Terrence West, who you mentioned, who did not look good on the goal line, but I assume he's going to get more opportunities there in a pretty good matchup for 5,300.
Nope. I think I'm going to skip him, too. I guess, you know, maybe we look at Chris Johnson then, because the Bears struggled a little bit against Eddie Lacy. This feels like a good spot for the Cardinals for me. And like you said, no, Andre Ellington likely not to play. It's funny. I mean, David Johnson, the rookie in Arizona, made the big play, you know, had the big game-changing play against the Saints last week, but he barely played. You know, I think he played maybe two or three snaps, and Chris Johnson really feels like the clear starter in that situation.
What do you think of Todd Gurley, who didn't play last week? What kind of immediate impact do you expect him to have?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, it seems we're getting conflicting word about whether he's going to be active this week. It seems like if he misses this week, this might be the last one he misses because he's being able to practice. I think they're being smart by being cautious with him. He's going to be on a pitch count. You know, we hear about that with running backs from time to time, but a torn ACL less than a year ago, you can't go crazy with the kid. He is the future of that franchise. I think there's going to come a time in the next 5 years where he's the number one player in fantasy. I think that much of him. But it's going to be tough to rely on him until you see a workload. You know, and I think Trey Mason's coming back this week, so they really don't feel a lot of urgency to use him a ton. So for Gurley, it feels to me like it's going to be more about workload. But boy, when he's right, maybe it's going to be next year. But I can't wait to see it because best prospect coming out of college at running back since Adrian Peterson.
If you have Mike Evans, same question. Do you have to put him out there this week?
Yeah, I think when it comes to Evans, because of what you invested in him, you probably don't have a great solution at wide receiver. Maybe you do, and maybe you can afford to wait. You know, never want to trust what players say. So the fact that Evans says he's 100% healthy, whatever. You know, he could say that and wind up inactive.
Yeah.
But yes, he's borderline top 20 for me. I think unless I'm in real conservative mode, I think I'm a real favorite in my game and I don't need the risk. I'm probably going to put Evans out there.
All right, that's Christopher Harris. Joins us every week. Check him out at harrisfootball.com, on Twitter at harrisfootball. Great stuff as always, Christopher. Appreciate the time and still waiting for you to bring that guitar, man.
I got it right here, but yeah, I can't imagine the audience would have a good evening if we played.
All right, man, we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. Enjoy the game tonight.
All righty. That's Christopher Harris.
Brought to you by FanDuel. Right, Fred?
That's right. That segment brought to you by FanDuel, and some good FanDuel stuff for you guys. And you know what? The league's already full, so if you missed out this week,
tough luck.
You're going to have to get in sooner next week.
All right, guys, going to tell you about DFC, the pros over at DFC. These guys will have your floors looking like new again, no matter what kind of stress you put them through over the summer. They can bring them back to life. They did it to my house in Austin. I had terrible renters at my house in Austin a couple of years ago, and I thought we were going to have to replace all the flooring. Nope. Just had to have DFC out there. They took care of it, had it looking like new. They're Houston's leading carpet cleaning professionals. They don't use soaps or chemicals. They've got a non-toxic patented pre-spray and super water. They use that with their truck-powered equipment, and that's what sets them apart. Once the stains are gone, they don't come back like the other guys. And it's not just carpet. They'll do tile, stone, leather, oriental rugs, upholstery, air ducts, marble, and they'll do it all with that unique patented technology. You call right now, they're going to give you a free gift, a family four-pack to the Texas Renaissance Festival. They'll give you that with any purchase. And, you know, the best thing to do when you're out there at the Renaissance Fest is come home to a clean house. So let DFC take care of that for you. Call 281-347-8373, 281-347-8373, or visit them online at dirtfreecarpet.com for 24-hour scheduling and additional specials. That's 281-347-8373 for dirt-free cleaning.
Keep that in mind. I designed this rhyme to remind myself how I tried so hard. In spite of the way you were mocking me.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Cowboys-Eagles 3:30 Sunday, presented by All-American Berryman Products on ESPN 97.5.
College Game Day, presented by Coors Light, is hosted by me, Saturday at Luke's Ice House in the Heights. The party starts at 2:30 with LSU taking on Auburn. Join us for a cold one. Register to win tickets to see Texas take on Oklahoma State with a free night stay at Red Roof Inn and catch all the games. Also want to let you know tonight, 7 o'clock, the HD show with Fred Davis and Henry Thomas. Just chatting with Henry a little bit. He shares my love of the ponies, so we always have little discussions. Let's tell him about my little weekend score. And Longhorn Weekly with Charlie Strong at 9 o'clock.
Dustin says, if folks need a cheap tight end, tell them to think about Gavin Escobar, which is a good point.
Yeah, that is a good one.
You'll probably see him out there quite a bit. So good call, Dustin. I mean, that's a dude on FanDuel or DraftKings that won't cost you much.
All right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Before we get to the gem of the day, I think I would hit Clemson.
I think I'm going
at that number.
Clemson's down to 5.
Yeah,
by the way.
In fact, I'll have to do that on a break.
Is that not a trap?
I mean, to me,
it feels like it.
It probably is, but I guess I'm a sucker. I'm looking at Louisville. Still doesn't know who their quarterback is, and like I said, Clemson has a fantastic quarterback.
Just that Thursday night home game, home dog thing scares the hell out of me, and I do think if they play the kid that they brought in late, they can move the football with him, but 5 points, that's almost. They're just daring me to take Clemson now. This does feel like it's too good to be true. Those always scare me. Anyway.
It's just like Notre Dame and Georgia Tech.
The same thing. That line is just begging you to take Georgia Tech. All right, so here's the Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day. You've heard this story about how robots might be the future of sex.
I have heard that.
Yeah.
And robots might be the future of everything.
Well, yeah, and that's okay. I actually kind of like the idea, but apparently there are researchers who have launched a campaign against sex robots in an effort to draw attention to what they see as the potential societal harm of human-like robots created for the purpose of having sex with humans. While they're not yet widely available, which I hope they are at some point, says they seem to be a growing focus in the robotics industry. I think it's a kind of cool idea. I'm not going to lie. Anyway, apparently Eric Billing, who is a lecturer at the University of Skövde in Sweden. I know that's not how you pronounce it, but I guess it's probably Skov. Told the Huffington Post that they didn't launch a campaign to protect the rights of robots. They're concerned that using sex robots could foster unhealthy attitudes towards sex and gender relations.
Yeah.
The danger of sex robots lies in what we read into them.
They say about porn. Like,
yeah.
If you watch porn, that's what you start to expect from your actual real-life partner. So if you have robot sex and it's, like, super awesome, then, like, women are going to have to step their game up if they want to get sex, because otherwise dudes will just keep banging robots. Low maintenance, man.
I don't know what the cost is.
Yeah, I don't know what kind of, like, parts and things like that.
Cleaning fee?
Yeah, I'm sure that's some maintenance, but...
But, it says the reality where the human male user is expected to turn on his woman robot companion for his own lone pleasure. I think that most of us agree this is very far from a healthy mutual sexual relationship.
Yeah.
All right. I get where they're coming from, but how is this any different than masturbation?
I don't know. You know how it is with guys, Fred.
Yeah.
Masturbation just gets boring.
True.
Like, you have to find new ways to masturbate, and robots are just the new way.
Depending on what you could program the robot to do, then it might be better than that. But I don't know, man. I appreciate that they're...
It would weird me out if I was having sex with a robot and it was making robot noises. Like, beep, ooh, ooh, ee, ooh, ah, ooh. That would throw me off.
Yeah, that would be kind of a turn-off.
Or it was like, oh, yes. Keep going. Like, that would be weird.
Yeah. I would...
But I also think that it's the 21st century. You can make a pretty realistic sex robot.
I would think you could, and I would think that you would maybe put a voice on one that actually sounds human. Could probably record that.
Yep.
Although I got to be honest, I'm not sure I want to hear anything.
Yeah, that's fair.
When I'm hooking up with my robot. But yeah, somebody said I'd be too scared the robot would glitch and something would get cut off.
Like, scissor
rock. Yeah, yeah.
I can see that happening, too. I can see that. That's a legitimate concern.
And then
sir.
Here's another legitimate concern. That's the end of the human race right there. There's no need to hunt for a woman when you got a robot at the house. Boy, and if you could teach her to cook or teach that robot to cook and clean, too. Anyway. That was my totally misogynistic comment of the day. So he said, program the robot to look like a green alien. See, that's the thing. The possibility is, you know, oh, God. Textures are all over this. What if it made the John Clayton noise? Oh, man. That would be the ultimate turnoff.
That'd throw me off, too.
Anyway, that's your Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day.
God. Oh, man. Oh, boy. So I said, didn't you guys watch iRobot with Will Smith? Yeah, but there weren't any female robots in iRobot. Those were, and they were kind of unisex robots, except for, well, no, there wasn't any robot sex going on there.
No.
Although, technically, Will Smith was kind of robot, but he was only partially robot. Anyway, now I'm confused. What is it, Jung? I'm sorry. I wasn't paying attention. Oh, thank you. I got to tell you about my good friends at Harry's. So what's your typical morning routine like? Now that summer's over, is your routine changing? I like to start my day with Harry's. I used to hate shaving, but I'll tell you what, now I enjoy it because what I used to do is just I'd wait till the last minute. I'd use a blade too long, and I'd clean all the crap out of it and just keep trying to shave with it, and I'd cut myself, and I hated shaving. Well, Harry's makes it so convenient. You don't have to run to the store. You don't have to go anywhere to get your razors because they send them to you. And they're great razors that do a great job. They were started by two guys who are passionate about creating a better shaving experience. And I tell you what, I love all their products. And I actually enjoy shaving now, which I never, ever thought would happen. For listeners to The Blitz, Harry's is giving you $5 off your first purchase of a starter set. All you have to do is use the coupon code FALCON. After entering my code FALCON at checkout, you can get Harry's starter set for just $10. That's a month worth of shaving for just $10 with code FALCON at checkout. And I'm telling you, these are really high-quality blades. Harry's starter set's a month worth of shaving, comes with a razor, three of Harry's high-quality German-engineered blades, and a bottle of shaving cream, all shipped straight to your door for free. Say goodbye to choosing between expensive brands or cheap disposables and say hello to Harry's. High-quality blades at a price you'll love. Go to harrys.com right now and enter the code FALCON at checkout to get $5 off your first purchase. Get a month's worth of shaving for just $10 with code FALCON at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FALCON.
ESPN 97.5.